Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for this opportunity just to gather here together, Lord, just be in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just remove me, Father, speak through me, and help us just get an understanding of this, these amazing gifts, God. These things we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So our main section of scripture is going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, if you guys want to turn there. But we'll get there in a sec. So spiritual gifts are something that is not, I guess, not talked about a ton in church. Do you guys know what they are, like spiritual gifts? Yeah. All right. So we'll go and dive into 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just read verses 1 through 11. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led." Sorry, I'm all over the place. "Therefore, make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So this is one of like the main passages in Scripture that talks about spiritual gifts and kind of gives us a list. And as Christians, we're all given a gift by God, and those gifts are used to edify the body and bring glory to God. It's a lot of people may kind of be fearful. I mean, these things like prophecy and speaking in tongues and things like that, like a lot of times they're foreign to us just because they aren't used that often. But there's no need to fear it. So Paul says in Romans 1, 11 through 12, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by a mutual faith, both of you and me." So Paul is, someone who we can definitely look to in Scripture. I mean, he was an amazing man, like looking at his life and studying his life, and we can take a lot and learn from that. But one thing he did a lot was he used the spiritual gifts that God had given him. And it's funny, as you read through Scripture, it seems like he has just about every single one of them. But Paul, through his ministry, he was traveling all over preaching the gospel, and he was going to these different churches and kind of planting churches or establishing them, building them up. So here we see, Paul longed to go to this church so he could use the gift that God had given him to help build up the body, help strengthen their faith there. The gifts of the Spirit are not first for us. Though God gives them to us, they're not first for us. They're first for God and edifying the body of Christ. And there's a lot of discussion concerning the spiritual gifts. Some people believe they're for today, and then there are groups that don't believe that the spiritual gifts are for today. They think that was just something that was used in biblical times, but there's really no need for it today. But as you read through Scripture, it's very clear that that we still have spiritual gifts and we're still to use them. I know for myself, kind of before I went off to Bible college, I didn't know much about the spiritual gifts, and I never really studied them, or I mean, if they were preached, I wasn't paying attention in church. But once I got to Bible college over in New Zealand, it was pretty cool because the director there was really big on spiritual gifts and was able to kind of teach us and give us a lot more knowledge on spiritual gifts. And it was cool because I got to actually see them at work, which is something I had never done before. I mean, you read about the gift of tongues, and like it seems like such a crazy thing, but I mean, when I got to hear someone speak in tongues in a biblical way, which is you need an interpretation for it, because I mean, speaking in tongues it's a different language. Most of the time, it is some language that is on the earth. I mean, some culture speaks it, but it's foreign to the speaker. I mean, a lot of times, like when you speak in tongues, you don't know what language you're speaking in. And there are, I mean, it may not even be a language on that is spoken on the earth, but it's a, I mean, tongues is a. It's just between you and God. It's a conversation between you and God, and it's normally of like praise and worship and stuff like that. But we'll dive a little bit more into that in part two. But there's really four main misconceptions about spiritual gifts. And number one being a spiritual gift is. Our spiritual gifts are not for just a specific age. So, I mean, we as Christians, as believers, when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, that at that moment, the Holy Spirit will give us, equip us our gift. So it's not, you don't have to be at a certain age to be able to use your spiritual gift. I mean, you can use them as soon as you're a believer. Number two is a spiritual gift is not an excuse to neglect serving in areas outside of your gift. So, I mean, as we read, and there are more than what is listed here, but we'll read that in Ephesians in part two as well. But I mean, like someone who may have the gift of teaching, like pastors and stuff. And I mean, it's important that we know that we can't, just because we know we have a certain gift, not to neglect serving in other areas. I mean, if you have the gift of teaching, I mean, it's not okay for you to neglect helping or working in other areas in ministry, in other parts of the church. I mean, I remember in New York, my pastor, the pastor there told us a story of, there was a guy who came to the church and was like, "Hey, man, like I wanna serve here," and the pastor was like, "All right, I need you to go clean the toilets." And he's like, "I can't do that. Like, that's not my gift. Like, I have a different gift." And the pastor was like, "All right, well, you can't serve here. Like, we need to be open and willing to serve in other areas." So number three, your spiritual gifts are different than your natural talents. So I mean, just humans, we may be talented in certain areas, whether that be, I mean, speaking or singing, I mean, playing instruments, stuff like that, helping people. But spiritual gifts are very different. I mean, I know there's pastors that stutter a lot when they talk, or have a hard time speaking in front of people. But I mean, when they're behind the pulpit and they're preaching the word of God, like they won't stutter a single word. But that's their gift. God has given them the gift to teach, and it's pretty cool to kind of see that. And then number four, your spiritual gift is not about you. So I kind of touched on this at the beginning, but When the Lord gives us our spiritual gifts, they're not for us. They're not to edify us. But I mean, we can be edified by them within a setting like in church. I know back in New Zealand when I heard the gift of tongues used the first time, and there was an interpretation. I wish I remembered exactly what it was, but I just know like it was a word that encouraged the whole body. I mean, it was really cool to see. A lot of it is like praise and worship to God. I mean, just. But it's used to encourage the whole body. I mean, you can be encouraged by that, but I mean, if you speak in tongues or have the gift of healing and stuff like that, like it's not, those things aren't for us. They're used for other people, and then also just to give all the glory to God. Another important thing to kind of know about spiritual gifts is. Because each and every one of us receive a different gift. We may not all have the same gift. Some people may have more than one. But there's no gift more spiritual than another. And there's no one more spiritual because they have a certain gift. If someone has the gift of faith, where it may seem like a... kind of less of a thing compared to prophecy and speaking in tongues and working miracles, but Scripture tells us there that no gift is more spiritual. Just because one person has the gift of prophecy and another person has the gift of faith, or the word of wisdom, word of knowledge kind of thing, that one person is no more spiritual than the other. And spiritual gifting does not equate to spiritual maturity. So you don't have to be, we don't have to be at a certain level of maturity in our walk with God to be able to use our gifts. I mean, like I said at the beginning, we receive our gifts when we accept Christ into our lives. And we can't let spiritual gifts become our identity. It may be easy for us in church. If someone has the gift of prophecy, it could be easy for them to kind of take that on as their identity. Like I'm the person in church that has the gift of prophecy, and kind of want to be known for that. But again, we need to like make sure that we only find our identity in Christ. Like we're the body. Like we're all equal. And like looking back at number two on that list, a spiritual gift is not an excuse to neglect serving in other areas. If you only want to be used in a specific area in ministry, then God is not going to be able to use you to your full potential or for greater things that He may have for you. If you know that you have a certain gift and you kind of stop at that, you're not trying to do other things within ministry, then you're really limiting your how God can use you. Service to God is far more important than a spiritual gift. So it's okay. If one person has the gift of faith and they feel like they can't come alongside and give words of encouragement and things like that. Like we just need to be careful of that. So using the gifts how they're supposed to be used is an awesome thing. When you see the body of Christ using their gifts how they're supposed to be used and working together. It's an incredible thing to witness. You can see, like, that church is just, how do I say it? Just, like, alive. And a lot of churches will thrive when they're using the gifts how they're supposed to be used. I mean, when each and every one in the body is knows their spiritual gift and is exercising that, like the body, the entire body will be encouraged and uplifted. As we kind of look at spiritual gifts, I mean, it's okay to not know what your spiritual gift is. I know friends and who've been Christians for as long as they can remember, and I mean, they've been following the Lord, and they still don't know what their spiritual gift is. I mean, and that's okay. Like we may not know right away, but it is good to be praying and asking for those things. What are your spiritual gifts? How can you be used within the body to encourage and build it up? An important thing is a question to ask yourself is are you consumed with yourself? Like, we need to not be focused so much on ourselves. I mean, we need to be asking the Lord, like, how can we be used to encourage the body? What are our spiritual gifts? How can we help build it up and bring glory to God through that? Looking back, like when I was in New York, that was kind of an example of a church that was very adamant about using spiritual gifts and doing it in a correct manner. When we were there, we did a few Sundays, we did a kind of study on spiritual gifts and kind of really just, the pastor really dug in and kind of showed us like a lot more about spiritual gifts, just to give us a better understanding. And after that, kind of once people started really praying and asking the Lord what their spiritual gift was and for him to show them, like, and once they started using them, like it was cool. You could actually see like change within church. I mean, people pulling people aside and giving people encouragement or the words of wisdom and even like prophecy. But, like, so very, I mean, firsthand, like, I was able to witness, like, just how cool it is when that's done. Like I said, this is just part one. So next time we're gonna kind of dive into each one of the spiritual gifts, and dive a little deeper, give better kind of definitions and explanations of what they are and how they're to be used. Kind of a homework thing for you guys. I mean, I would encourage you guys to start praying for your spiritual gift. Praying for the Lord to show you. Don't be discouraged if you don't know right away. I mean, like I said, it may be, I mean, who knows how long. I've been praying for that for a while, and I'm really not certain on all the gifts I have, but yeah. So that's kind of it. It was super short, but do you guys have any questions about that? Okay, it's okay to, if you want.
Well, I don't really get the concept of speaking in tongues.
Okay. So speaking in tongues is, it's a prayer language between you and God. It's normally not like asking for things, but I mean, like I said, it's normally like praise or worship. Like to God, from you to God, and there's a lot of talk about spiritual gifts within the church, Now, I mean, certain, I mean, you kind of look at the, like the Pentecostal church, and they use the gift of tongues very openly. And I mean, a lot of times you'll see it in their worship and stuff. I mean, people within the congregation will be speaking in tongues. And some people kind of frown on that, because it is in Scripture. It's very clear that when the gift of tongues is used, there needs to be interpretation, because the gift of tongues is used. It's meant to encourage the body and bring glory to God. But I mean, there can be no encouragement given to the body if there's no interpretation. Yeah, because there needs to. I mean, we're not all going to know what that word was, and even the speaker may not know, but
so would they be the ones who would translate it?
No, so not always. So there are people that have the gift of tongues that don't have the gift of interpretation. And so, like, I mean, what was cool in New Zealand was like the pastor told us, I mean, he had a word for us, which would be in tongues, and he asked everybody if anyone had the gift of interpretation, and it was cool because he actually did. He was someone who had the gift of tongues and interpretation, so he was able to give an interpretation if no one else. But he gave the opportunity for, I mean, because someone may not even know they have the gift of interpretation if they've never even heard the gift of tongues used. So, because it was cool, because one of the kids there didn't know he had the gift of interpretation, but yeah, and so also within the interpretation, there may be more than one. Like there's not a specific interpretation. So I mean, like the pastor, after he gave the spoken tongues, gave us that word. I mean, he gave us an interpretation, and then someone else said they had an interpretation too, and they were not identical, but like it was the same idea, same theme. Yeah, so that was super cool.
So can you like control it, or does it just like, is it like?
No, you have control over it, and like, because I mean, if you know that no one there has the gift of interpretation. Like it doesn't just come out, and that's what some people. I mean, some people say it does, and that's like a lot of times when it's used in wrong manners and stuff. I mean, like they'll be like, I had no control over it. Like, I wasn't able to stop it coming out. But I mean, we do have full control over it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we do see it a lot through Scripture, but it's not. I mean, it's not often talked about. I mean, near as much as it should, I think. You guys? No. So as we, I mean, looking at, I mean, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is, I mean, in my Bible, it's titled Prophecy in Tongues. So there's a lot more kind of description. I mean, if you want to read it, but I mean, I'll also be going through that as well in part two. I mean, like verse 14 of chapter 14, it says, for when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Oh, sorry, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So I mean, that's something that we should pray for. I mean, if you know you have the gift of tongues, I mean, like it's okay to pray that the Lord to give you the gift of interpretation. I mean, especially if you, I mean, if you're in a small group of people and you. I mean, like your meeting, say a Bible study, or even in church, and you know that no one has the gift of interpretation. You can pray that the Lord would give you that so you can use that gift of tongues. I know when I was in New York one time, I was in a room and I was kind of just reading by myself and praying, and because I'm not certain that I have the gift of tongues or not, but I believe I do, and it was kind of a scary thing, because like as I was just praying, like I felt like the Lord was telling me to speak in tongues, and I was like, wait, like are you sure? Like I didn't, because I was like, I don't know, I was like freaking out about it. Yeah, but we'll kind of dive into tongues a lot more. Because I mean it's kind of weird, because I mean it is a prayer language between you and God, and I mean if you don't have the gift of interpretation, even if you're by yourself and you speak in tongues, I mean like you may not know what you said, but it is a prayer language, and it's I mean giving glory to God. Yeah. All right. I'll go ahead and pray for us, and we'll hang out for a bit. Dear Lord, we just again thank you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity just to be in your Word, Lord, and just Lord, read about these awesome things, God, the spiritual gifts, Lord, that you have given each and every one of us, Father. I pray, Lord, that we would just be a people that would seek those gifts, Lord, seek to know the gifts that you have given us, and help us to just stand up in boldness, Lord, and use those gifts, Lord, as they're supposed to be used, Lord, just encourage the body, Lord, build one another up, and just give glory to you, Father. Lord, I pray for just safe travels as we return home. These things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.